Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching, and I think we will be finished with this teaching today entitled, Who the Lord Loves, He Chastens. Again, Who the Lord Loves, He Chastens. And we found out that chasten simply means the training of a child, which includes the instruction, the discipline, the teaching, the correction, and the learning of that individual child. So chastening is a good thing. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we will read our verses 5 through 11 that we've been using for our teaching. And it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. So we see in our verses that, number one, we shouldn't despise the chastening of the Lord, because he does it in love. Amen. He does it in love. And it also tells us that God does it when he chastens us, we get a profit. We gain something from it. Amen. It's that we can be partakers of his holiness. And also, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. So when we are trained and corrected and instructed and disciplined correctly, we get the peaceful fruit of the righteousness of those who have been trained by chastening. Amen. Now, we found out that you can learn some things by experience, but experience is not the best way. The best way to learn is by obeying God. If you obey God's word, there are many experiences you can avoid, because some of those experiences can kill you. Amen. Please go to the book of Proverbs chapter 8. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 32 through 35. And it says, "Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear and be wise. Hear my instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Amen. Now, we must understand that we get a profit or a benefit from the word of God. We see in the scripture, it says, "Blessed are those who keep my ways." So when we keep the word and the ways of God, we are blessed. Amen. Because we're listening to the word of God, and faith comes by hearing or listening. And then it says, whoever finds God finds life, not death, life. And we also obtain favor from the Lord. Amen. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 16. And let's look at this scripture, because we looked at it earlier, but there is something in this verse I did not mention before, which bears directly on what we are discussing now. Now it says, all scripture, how much scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Scripture is a synonym for the Bible. The word of God, can we agree on that? Scripture and the Bible, they're synonyms. This verse tells us that all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable means that it gives you some sort of benefit or gain, that it is advantageous for you to have. In other words, you should be better off for having received it. Amen. Now turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. We were in there earlier. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look again back at verse 9 and 10. And it adds this. It says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seems best to them. But he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, the first part of this verse says that our parents chasing us as seemed best to them. But the same verse says God chasing us for our profit. In other words, so that we will be the better off for it. When God chastens us, he gives us a profit. We are blessed by that if we submit to the word. The word of God informs us that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. So we have to guard against theft. Amen. No person is exempt from temptations, trials, or tests. However, the one who is tempting, trying, and testing you is Satan, not God. Satan has one basic purpose in his mind for testing, trying, and testing you. He does not want you to learn from God's word how to live the God kind of life. He knows that if you find out and understand it, you will send him running, and he will by no means longer be able to dominate you. Amen. Satan brings trials, tests, and temptations upon you to steal the word. Once he steals the word, you will have no way to be chastened, and you will have no way to spiritually grow up and mature in the things of God. In the process of doing this, the devil will attempt to blow your brains out and take your money, your family, and anything else he can get his hands on, if he can get away with it. But his main purpose of coming is to separate you from the word of God. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, "You profit by all scripture, which is given by inspiration of God, by absconding to leave with all scripture, the devil gets away with the things you must profit from." This is what Jesus was explaining when he told the disciples the parable of the sower. Now, let me repeat that. Scripture is given by inspiration of God. By absconding with all scripture, the devil gets away with the things that would profit you. This is what Jesus was explaining when he told the disciples the parable of the sower. Please go to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verses 14 and 15. Jesus is speaking. It says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So we see right here, when the word is sown, Satan comes immediately. He doesn't wait a couple hours. He doesn't wait a day, a week, a month. He comes immediately to take away the word. Amen. Now, let's go to Mark 4, verses 16 and 17. And it says, "These likewise are the ones sown on stormy ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And they have no root in them, and so endure it only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulations or persecutions arise by the word's sake, immediately they stumble." So we see again where Satan persecutes and tries to afflict you for the word's sake. He does not come to persecute you through some strange person you do not know. But what Satan will do, he will come through relatives, through friends, and sometimes even your spouse or your children. That is what makes persecution hurt, if you allow it to. Amen. But you and I must do what Jesus says. He says, "Father, forgive them." That's found in Luke 23:34. "I have learned to forgive them. And believe me, Dr. Michelle and I have persecution that in the natural hurts. But we have said, Father, forgive them. The people who attacked us did not really know us. If they really knew and understood what we were doing, they would not say the things that they were saying. We just stayed pleasant and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because we are going to not let Satan steal our profit or our joy. Amen. Now we're still in Mark chapter 4. Now let's read verses 18 and 19. Jesus is still speaking. It says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for others' things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So we see again, we see where these are the ones that are sown among thorns. The word comes, and the cares of the deceitful of the riches and desires of other things enter in to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful in their lives. Praise God, you are not the one who becomes unfruitful. It is the word that becomes unfruitful. Amen? Now, let's go to verse 20. And it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Now, this is the ones that were sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now understand, the word is the same. Therefore, conceivably, that word should produce the same amount of harvest in the same amount of ground for everyone. The ideal harvest would be 100%. However, because of the difference in people in their level of commitment, dedication, love, and desire, some 30 and some 60. The important thing is that at least they bring in the amount they do, because the word is sown in their hearts. Amen? So they brought something. The word does not work by itself. It does not matter how much word you hear. It will not do you any personal good, nor will it have a positive effect on your life unless you act upon it. There is a difference between 30, 60, and 100. But the difference is because you, not because of the word. The word will produce 100 in every plot of ground, every life it touches, if allowed to. But you have to be willing for it to do that if you want it to manifest 100-fold in your life. Amen? Now, please go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about who the Lord loves, he chastens. Ephesians 5, and let's look at another benefit of the word stated in verse 25-28. So Ephesians 5, 25-28. And it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. See, there's the problem there. There are a lot of men there who don't love themselves, so how can they love their wives? That's right. If you don't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. Amen. See, God cleanses us with the washing of the water by the word. If you would only listen to the word, you would not have to learn through circumstances. Satan will not have a way to get to you. He will not be able to put any temptation, trial, or test on you that will affect you, because you will be able to say, I know what God says. I know what the word says, and I do not need to go through some foolishness that will keep me from attaining God's best. Amen. Our goal as Christians is to mature and to attain God's best. He gave us his best, so we should attain for his best. Another scripture that refers to the cleansing power of the word is John chapter 15. Please go there. John chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And this is Jesus again speaking. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Amen. This is the same thing Paul writes about in Ephesians. God uses his word to cleanse us if we submit to it. Amen. Once we submit to the Lord, sometimes the training can be hard. If you think back to your childhood, you may remember times when it seems like your parents were trying to kill you because the training they gave you was that rigid. So you know what I was talking about when I say that. However, you can look back on it now and see that it was for your benefit. That hard training and instruction and correction and teaching that your parents gave you, if you look back now, you laugh on it because you know it benefited you in the long run. Amen. As Hebrews 12 verse 11 puts it, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. That's right. No correction, no discipline. It doesn't seem joyful at the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen and amen. If it were the trials, tribulations, and tests that chastens us, they would have the net results of making us righteous. But those things do not make you righteous. They can bring pain and hurt to you. Also keep this in mind. What part of your threefold nature is affected by temptations, trials, tests, sickness, disease, and poverty? It is your body. Of course, your soul or your mind can also be affected because you have to think about the problem. But basically, tests and trials hit your body. Notice what Hebrews 12 verse 9 tells us. It says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? God is the Father of spirits because we are spirits. We're made in his image and likeness, so we are spirits. Many Christians do not understand this verse. The first part of it says, furthermore, we have human fathers. Now let's stop right there. Right away, the word human should alert us to the fact that God is going to show us a contrast between human or something else. Otherwise, you would not have to say human. What else would be earthly father but be human? The contrast comes from the latter part of the verse when Paul calls God the Father of spirits. The reason God is the Father of spirits is because we are spirits. God could not call the Father of our flesh. He cannot be called that because we are not flesh. We cannot be called the Father of souls because we are not souls. God is the Father of spirits. Jesus came to redeem spirits. Amen. When our spirits are redeemed, our bodies get to tag along for the benefit. Amen. They get to tag along for the benefits. Now go to John chapter 4. And let's look at this spirit thing. John chapter 4, verse 24. And Jesus again is speaking and he says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So God is a spirit, and we are not only his creation, but for those of us who have accepted him as our personal savior and Lord over our lives, we are also his children. Now, don't get this twisted. Everybody on this earth is not a child of God. Everybody on this earth is a creation, but everybody is not his child. Amen. If God is a spirit, we are also his children, those who've accepted him as their personal Savior, Lord. So we must also be spirits. Now, a black man and a black woman coming together cannot produce a white baby. Two white people cannot come together and produce an Asian child. Two Asians cannot come together and produce a Mexican child. My point is, if God is our father, we have to be whatever he is. Our DNA has to match. Amen? So if God is a spirit, guess what? We are spirits. Since sickness, disease, trials, tests affect your flesh, how can God use these things to train you when you are not flesh, but spirit? Cancer does not affect your spirit. Heart attacks do not affect your spirit. Pneumonia does not affect your spirits. Not even COVID or its complications can affect your spirits. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.